Hello and welcome to Let the Stones Speak. My name is Christopher Eames and I'll be your host for today's program. It's been a little while since we've uploaded any programs. Things have been very busy lately. And as I'm sure everyone is aware, unless you've been living under a rock, things have been a little crazy in the Middle East of late, over the past couple of weeks. I did want to say to everyone that our team here in Jerusalem is safe and well. We're very grateful to those who have reached out with their support, their thoughts and prayers and well wishes. Thank you all very much for that. It's certainly a surreal experience seeing these missiles going overhead and being intercepted by Israel's air defenses. We in Jerusalem have certainly had it a lot easier than some of the other cities here in Israel, such as Tel Aviv and Haifa and Beersheba. But nevertheless, we're all safe and well, and we'll continue to produce content. But we're certainly very much appreciative of you, our audience. So I did just want to lead out with that in this program too, because we've got a few programs in the kitty that had been taped before the events of the past couple of weeks had taken place. I think one of them even mentions the ongoing war situation, which isn't referring to the current conflict with Iran, but to the ongoing situation over the past nearly couple of years now. So just in case any of that sounds unusual, I did want to preempt these programs with that message, and again, to let you all know we're safe and well. And thank you for your support and concern. So in any case, for today's program, we have a special interview for you with Dr. Amit Rehem of Reshut HaAtikot, the Israel Antiquities Authority. He serves as the head district archaeologist for the Jerusalem region. And we met in their offices last month to discuss some of his history in archaeology, his position, his role at the IAA for the Jerusalem region, and the general view of archaeology being done in Jerusalem in particular and in Israel as a whole more broadly. So we hope that you enjoy today's program. If you do, please leave us a like and subscribe if you're not subscribed already. And without further ado, on to today's program. Dr. Amit Rehem, you're the head district archaeologist for the Jerusalem region, if I've got that right.
Absolutely right, Chris, yes.
It's always a pleasure to see you. Here we are in your new offices. Relatively new, you just moved in.
Two years ago, yes.
Okay, beautiful offices here next to the Israel Museum and the Bible Lands Museum. It's great to sit down and have this chat with you. I want to get mostly into your role here as the Jerusalem District Archaeologist, but perhaps you can familiarize the audience a little bit with yourself. How did you get into archaeology?
Wow. Actually, the adventure with the archaeology started at my childhood. At the age of six, I was living in the outskirts of Jerusalem, near an open area which was full, mountains that were full with ancient burial tombs. Most of them now I know from the Second Temple period. But for us as children, this was an opportunity. This was a kind of an adventure. And already at the age of six, I have a bunch of kids. We enter those tombs and excavated within them. Now I know that is forbidden. It's against the law to excavate without permission in those burial caves. But those days, many, many years ago, we were kids. And in some of the caves, we actually discover pottery, ancient pottery, cooking pots and even oil lamps. And we decided back then that we find the legendary tomb of King David, you know, and we put all the pottery in a special suitcase, and then we went to our manager at the school. She was an amazing woman, but she didn't know what to do with us. On one hand, she had a bunch of very enthusiastic kids before her, and on the other hand, we were criminals. What she's going to do? And actually, she encouraged our enthusiasm in archaeology. And my career started then, more than 15 years ago. And of course, I learned at the Hebrew University, my first degree, my second degree, my PhD I done there. I specialized in medieval archaeology, the Crusader period. All of my career was here in Jerusalem. Actually, you can say that I'm walking, exploring, writing on ancient Jerusalem for more than 30 years. I'm dreaming Jerusalem. You know, I want to wake up after night to go to walk. Every day it's a new day. Every day it's adventure. Every day you explore new things. You discover many things. That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
In short.
So that ignited the spark, and then you went through these different degrees, and you specialize in this field.
Yes.
Of Crusader period, medieval period. Just quickly, why... why that period? Was there something about it that attracted you to
it? You know what, Chris? Many people ask me because historically, the Crusaders were murderers. If we relate it to Judaism and Jewish communities, they massacred everybody in Europe and here in the Holy Land. But there is something else at that period because there is a combination between archaeology, the physical evidence, and the historical sources. Mm-hmm. We have numerous historical sources written in Latin, written in French, and actually the stones come alive. When you deal with the archaeology of medieval Jerusalem, Crusader Jerusalem, they are telling story. You have it in the sources. So this, in my point of view, this is some kind of a magical combination that you not necessarily have it in much earlier periods. And of course, you know, I cannot, this in my view, this is very turbulent period with a lot of wars, a lot of blood, a lot of love, a lot of belief. This is archaeology at its best, in my view.
Yeah, we were at the site the other day on the Ophel, and you were saying the same thing to me. Like, we're dealing with this Iron Age period, and there is so much debate about the Iron Age period, and you were just saying you love the Crusader period because you have all these different sources.
It's much clearer, yeah. It's much obvious.
And there are fewer people in that area or studying that area, Nahon, there's a lot more...
There are a lot of archaeologists dealing with biblical periods and classical periods, but I must say the issue of medieval periods and exploring the Holy Land from the medieval aspect is growing. Now there is a lot of energetic young people who are more into it, and I think now it's very, really flourishing here in Israel.
Okay, great. I want to get into your role here at the Israel Antiquities Authority, starting off with a basic question that I think we probably take for granted. What is the Israel Antiquities Authority? So for our viewers abroad who might not be familiar with the organization, what is the Israel?
We may say that everything started in 1979. In 1979, the Israeli law of antiquity was established, which basically, in simplicity, meaning that every place here in Israel that we know that is containing archaeology or some antiquity is recognized by the law, which means that everybody which wants to touch the ground with antiquity, stop. You need to get first to the Israeli Antiquity Authority. You cannot build your house. You cannot build roads, you cannot build new neighborhoods without dealing first with the archaeology and with the Israeli Antiquity Authority. It's a very, very powerful law. Now, I may say that about 70% and even more of the land of Israel is containing antiquity. From that, you could understand that we have a lot of work. We are not dealing only with science. We are dealing with permissions. Everybody in Israel, the government, the municipality, private people who want to do something in the land that is recognized as an antiquity land need to get our permission. And our hand is full with work. Let me emphasize it. Let's say that you are living here in Jerusalem, okay, and you want to build your private house. As I said, first of all, you are coming to us and asking us, the Israeli Antiquity Authority, is my land containing antiquities? And I may say to you, no, go ahead. But Jerusalem, all of Jerusalem, is one enormous archaeological site. So I will not say to you, Chris, go ahead, build your house. Opposing to that, I will say to you, no, we need to check your land. And we starting a complex process of learning about your land, even making trial excavation at your own private property. And if we discover archaeology, then we make salvage excavation. And only then, if we didn't reveal something magnificent, something amazing, something important, we're letting you go, okay? So at the start, at the early years of the Israeli Antiquity Authority, the 1980s, nobody understand us. What, you're coming to my property? We need to pay on the archaeological excavation? But now I think that the Israeli Antiquity Authority is in a different level. We are at the consensus. Everybody understand the power of the archaeology of the Holy Land, and it's together with us.
Yeah, and it makes sense. And it's something really unique and special about this country is it just bleeds archaeology. Everywhere you go, there's stuff on the ground, in the ground. I've had it happen to me where I found an artifact at Palmachim Beach, and I called the Reshut HaAtikot, the Israel Antiquities Authority, for that area. They came out. I showed them what I had found, and we exchanged details. And I was saying to the guy that it's a shame this area can't be excavated. And he's like, it's like this for the whole land. There is too much to do, and there's so much archaeology here, ancient history coming out of the ground. And so you can't just build a house or lay a road. And that's why you read about in a lot of the articles about the new discoveries here. Oftentimes they come from these salvage excavations that you're saying have to happen.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So for you specifically, you are in charge of the Jerusalem region for the Israel Antiquities Authority. How did you come into this role to begin with as the Jerusalem regional manager? And basically, what does it entail specific to Jerusalem?
I started from the bottom. I started as just a simple supervisor more than 30 years ago here in Jerusalem. I progressed to be an archaeologist in the Old City. I was the district archaeologist for 12 years, and now for nearly 5 years, approximately, I'm a regional archaeologist. And actually, the Jerusalem region is containing two districts, Jerusalem district and the Judean district. The Jerusalem district is East Jerusalem, the area of the old city and the surrounding, West Jerusalem. The Judean district is actually all the Beit Shemesh area until the area of Beit Guvrin. It's relatively small geographical unit comparing it to the other Israeli antiquity regions at the country, but it's the most complicated and intense region in the, because we have here Jerusalem, as you know. And my region has nearly 100 archaeologists working right here in Jerusalem, in the Judean area, and they are busy. I do not have enough personnel for the work that we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is this is Jerusalem, the center of the world, as it's sometimes called.
Yes.
And that naturally comes with many challenges, many difficulties. What's that like? On the one hand, but then it has the perks and the benefits to doing archaeology in Jerusalem as well. What are the two sides of the coin.
Yeah, first of all, you have the side, the archaeological side, because the archaeology of Jerusalem, in my point of view, of course, this is the top. It's the creme de la creme, okay? Here, you actually touch the history, the archaeology, the big things, okay? And this is the prize. But of course, Jerusalem, it's very, very complicated. And me and my staff are not only archaeologists. We are diplomats. We are a politician. We need to hear all the views and all the people. And there are numerous communities here. There are Jewish, Muslim, Christian, whatever. And I think that our work is to serve everybody, okay? We, as the archaeologists of Jerusalem, have a historical responsibility, okay? Because here, you need to understand, you have archaeology for many periods. You have archaeology from the First Temple period, the Second Temple period, the Christian era, the Byzantine, the Muslim, the Crusader, the Ayyubid, Mamluk, and we have the responsibility to excavate everything, to deal everything professionally, okay? But do not mistake, I'm really proud Israeli, Zionist, and Jewish. But as I said, we have responsibility for all of the archaeology of Jerusalem, and we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And because of that, people respect us in East Jerusalem, in the old city of Jerusalem, because they know that we are professional. We are seeking to deal only with the stone, less with politics.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's one of those fields that unfortunately has been used to divide people, but should be used really to bring people together. I think just revealing this history of these periods of occupation in the city, Jewish, Christian, Muslim periods. I know that was the case back in the 60s and 70s for the Ophel excavations. There was suspicion from all three sides about the archaeology going on. But as the years went on, all three sides started to notice that these different periods were being emphasized that are important to them, and it helped kind of bring people together in a way. In the broader scheme of the past several decades, how do you see Jerusalem archaeology progressing? Like, you've got a broad experience now. You see how it is now. You see how it has been in the past. Like, do you see a difference in, say, archaeological method or the way things are
Chris,
done?
Chris, absolutely. There is an immense progress from the aspect of technology, for example. We are now have technology tools that we didn't have in the past, of documentation, of the memory of archaeology, the issue of the internet, okay? You can now put all the information at databases. We are at another place comparing, you mentioned the excavation at the Ophel in the 1970s, in the early 1980s. We are at a different level. There are much more archaeological excavation, in my opinion, more accurate because of the technological tools, and the world is spreading, the information is spreading more rapidly to the academical community and to the lay people, to the public, here in Israel and abroad. And it's truly important.
So you see a bright future for archaeology Jerusalem and Israel?
Yes, I see the bright future is already here. I see it. People is asking that we give them the information. People are yearning to learn and to understand the archaeology of Jerusalem, and we could provide them to do so.
Yeah, so any final thoughts about anyone getting interested in archaeology here in Jerusalem or...
Chris, everybody is invited to here. And you know, let's face it, Jerusalem is a little bit problematic from the political aspect, but everybody, as long as he is a professional archaeologist, is welcome. We are blessing, and everybody who wants to come and participate or to be volunteer in archaeological excavation, or even to excavate here, universities from abroad, or everybody, just come here. We are waiting to you, And this is the surprise land of the archaeology of the world. Please come here.
The sites that you have investigated, excavated, maybe you can list some of them. I've read.
Wow. Yes. I excavated in numerous archaeological sites. But the one which is closest to my heart actually was my first excavation. And if you look behind you at the library, there is a book, the final report of the Kishle excavation.
I've seen
right,
that one.
Right mm-hmm. there, okay? Actually...
Three
yes,
volumes?
Yes, no, one
or
volume.
Just one.
You okay. could take it out, okay? And actually... The Kishle is near Jaffa Gate, near Jerusalem Citadel. And I was really a young archaeologist. It was back in 1991. And my manager told me, Amit, go and excavate there. Because there was some necessity to do some salvage excavation there because David Museum wanted to expand it to this area. Never mind. And they sent me, and I remember the words. You are a young archaeologist. Probably you will not find nothing there, and the archaeological excavation will end after a few days. I stayed there for nearly 2 years. There isn't, you will not find nothing in Jerusalem. It's all depend on your will and how deep you go. Mm-hmm. And actually, in this excavation, we started excavating inside a British jail from the 1930s. And directly under the prison floor, we find industry of Jewish community from the Crusader period. And under this industry, we find the walls and the main street system of Herod Palace, the main royal palace of Herod 2,000 years ago. And underneath, we find the main fortifications of Jerusalem from the Hasmonean period, the second century BC. And underneath, Chris, we find the walls of Jerusalem from the first temple period, the 8th century BC. And actually, this is the story of Jerusalem. Layers upon layers, city upon city. And when you enter this excavation, you are actually time traveling from the modern period until the time of the Judean monarch here 3,000 years ago. And this is truly the archaeology of Jerusalem.
Amazing. And people can order this book.
Yes.
Is that
people,
right?
People could. But this is more professional book about right. all the technical details and everything. Mm-hmm. But all of you is welcoming to read it and to read the other reports that we are doing here, the important report that we are doing here in Jerusalem.
Okay. So we'll leave a link for that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Chris. Thank you very much.